Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. This week, once again, we are learning the Refuah Shleima of Zev Ben Leah, that's Dr. Zev Zelenko, as well as all the other Chalei Yisrael. So this week's Parsha, as we know, is Parsha Tzaveh. Of course, Shabbos, before our weekly Parsha, is Purim. And I'm not really going to speak about Purim, but I want to wish everyone, an easy fast tomorrow for Tainus Esther, as well as a Freilichim Purim, a happy and a healthy Purim. Obviously, Purim this year will be different than we're accustomed to on account of the ongoing pandemic, again, as I mentioned last week, it's hard to believe that it's a year. I know that in my community, we still had davening on Purim, but I know many other communities already hadn't by then, more than even Parsha Zachor. So it's hard to believe that it's a year, already by Parsha, the Shabbos after Purim, even though we were open for Purim, we were not open for the entirety of Shabbos after Purim. So really it is a year, and I hope and I daven that this Purim, while it will likely not be normal in the way that we typically think of celebrating Purim, it will be the last of our Yom Tovim that will be markedly different from what we are accustomed to, until of course Mashiach comes from Heri Aminu, then life will be very different than it is right now, in a good way. Again, this week's Parsha is Parsha Tzaveh, and among the many things that we learn about in the Parsha, it speaks about the big day kahuna, and specifically the clothing worn by the Kohen Gadol, as well as the other Kohanim. So, the pasuk in the first Aliyah, Perek Chav Ches, pasuk Dalet, lists the different garments, special garments, the Eilu Begadim Asher Yasu Choshen, the Eifel, the Me'il, Ksainis, Tashbeit, Misnefes, Avnit, the Asu Bite Kodesh, La'aron, Nechichu, Levan, Vachanoli. Right? So that these are the special garments that they shall make, the Choshen, which is the breastplate, the Eifel, the Me'il, which is like a robe, Ksainis, is like a woven shirt, Tashbeit, a hat, the mitznefes is a hat, the avnet, the belt. These are all the garments that they should make for Aaron HaKohen, your brother, and for his sons, who will be the Kohanim. And Rashi mentions that what's the Choshen? Choshen is, he says, is just it's an adornment worn against the heart. Now, although the Choshen was in fact worn against the entire chest, and not just against the heart on the left side, Rashi specifically mentions here the heart as an allusion to the Gemara Masechta Shabbos that says that Aaron HaKohen merited to wear the Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate of judgment, against his heart as a reward for the fact that when Moshe Rabbeinu returned to Mitzrayim from Midian, he told him that he was to be superior to Aaron. Again, Moshe was the leader of the Bnei Yisrael, the Nasi, really, he was in charge. Aaron HaKohen was his older brother, but it would be merely like a spokesman. Nevertheless, when Aaron saw Moshe, he rejoiced in his heart. And that is based off of the Maskil of David in Sefer Shmos. Now, also within the Choshen, there was a parchment, a paper that called the Urim V'Tumim. This we learn about in the third Aliyah. It's actually Perk Chav Ches Pasuk Lamed. It says, "V'nasata el choshen the mishpat as ta'urim v'tumim v'hayu al lev arun v'vol lifnei Hashem v'nasa arun as mishpat v'nei Yisrael al liboy lifnei Hashem tamim." They shall also put the urim v'tumim inside the breastplate of judgment, so that they are in Aaron's heart, and when he enters before Hashem, Aaron should carry this adjudicator for the Bnei Yisrael in his heart before Hashem at all times. Now, the urim v'tumim was had the inscription of Hashem's Shem Mefurash. We call it the explicit name of Hashem. Oh, this is, again, based on Rashi. Rashi, according to Tzedel HaDerech, explains Rashi's opinion is this is the 42-letter name of Hashem. However, others understand it to be the what we refer to in English as a tetragrammaton, or rather, it's the four-letter name of Hashem. That's the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. The Baal HaTorim, however, understands it to be the 72-letter name of Hashem. And so there's a difference of opinion as to what this Shema for the specific name was, but again, going by Rashi, he says that the Shema Meforish, the explicit name of Hashem, was written on the parchment that was put in the fold of the breastplate of the Choshen, by way which the Choshen makes it clear, the words clear, and it's fulfilled its words. This is based on the Gemara Maseches Yoma. And Rashi continues that even in the Bayis Sheni, there was also the Choshen, for it's impossible for the Kohen Gadol to be without any one of his garments. But this inscription of Hashem's name was not inside of it. That's based on the Gemara Maseches Sota. And on account of this, the Urim V'Tumim, it's termed Mishpat. It's ruling, as it says, V'shalalo v'mishpat t'urim, and he will inquire of him the ruling of the Urim. This is, again, based off of in Sefer B'Midbar, Perek Chaf Zayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Okay, so the Choshen, the breastplate itself, had 12 precious stones on it. Each one of these stones was inscribed with one of the 12, the names of the 12 Shvatim. And again, behind the Choshen itself was this folded in half form of a pocket, and the slip of parchment, the Urim V'Tumim, was placed inside of it. The Choshen Mishpat was used in order to ask questions of Hashem. This is again after the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer able to speak directly to El Peh. But the Kohen Gadol would pose the question to Hashem, and it would send his answer via the letters of the stones that would light up in the response. However, the letters that lit up could be ordered and therefore interpreted in different ways. The Kohen Gadol required a certain element of Ruach HaKodesh, of a divine inspiration, in order to interpret the Kodesh Baruch Hu's message correctly. And the Ramban explains that the Kohen Gadol would meditate on the names of Hashem, and this meditation would help him to read the luminous letters in the correct order. We see the use of the Choshen Mishpat in this way in the famous story of Tzilas Chana that we see in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Chana, as we know, was childless for many years. Together with her husband Elkanah, she would travel regularly to the Mishkan at Shiloh. And Elkanah would deliberately make a circuitous route as to encourage as many people as possible to join in their pilgrimage to go to the Mishkan. At the Mishkan, Chana would pour out her heart in tefillah to Hashem, begging him for a child. And the Tanakh recounts one particular episode in which Chana was davening to Hashem with unusual fervor, and Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time, observed Chana's demeanor and thought that she was drunk. She was a shikura. And the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, explains that Eli had assumed this to be the case. And the four letters had lit up in the Choshen Mishpat, the letters Hei, Chof, Resh, and Shin. and Eliakim read the letters in the wrong order, as spelling the word Shikura, which means that a drunken woman. The letters should have been read Kesara, which means that Chana was a righteous, like Sarah remaining. Or as Kshera, which means that she was not just kosher, she was a worthy woman. So Chana explained to Eliakim that she was not drunk. Rather, she was an aggrieved woman who was pouring out her soul to Hashem. And Eli told Chana to go in peace, and he gave a bracha that tefillah should be answered. Chana's tefillahs, of course, were answered, and she was blessed with a son who became Shmuel Hanavi, whose greatness was compared to Moshe and Aaron, if you see in Sefer Tehillim. Shmuel would go on to lead the Bnei Yisrael, eventually anointing Shaul HaMelech and then David HaMelech. And Chana would be avenged with more children after that. From this incident of Eli's interaction with Chana, the Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis derives many important halachas about the appropriate way to daven and about interpersonal relationships. So we'll take a look at a couple of these halachas. The pasuk says, in Shmuel Aleph, it's Perek Aleph pasuk Yud Gimel. The Chana was speaking in her heart. From here, the Gemara derives that one who davens should direct their heart towards Hashem. This might seem like an obvious theory, an obvious thought, but many of us could stand in shul davening without even thinking about Hashem. Believe it or not, it's possible. The more you get into davening in a rote way, just by memory, without thinking about it, you do go through the motions, it ends up to be that you're not thinking necessarily about Hashem the way that you should be. It's a common problem. The pasuk says that Chana's lips moved, but her voice wasn't heard. And from here, the Gemara derives that during Shemona Esrei, the pinnacle of davening, we need to pronounce the words with our lips. We need to say each and every word, but we should not raise our voice. As an aside, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when davening is so different than the rest of the year, there are some who have the custom to say the words more audibly so they can make sure they hear what they're saying correctly, but it's certainly to pronounce each and every word, at least in a whisper, but so that you're saying every word, you need to make sure you do that. Eli accused Chana of being drunk, and he chastises her. From here we learn that we're not permitted to daven while we are drunk. Now this, of course, is very important coming up on Purim. So we know that there's a halacha, there's different interpretations of exactly what the halacha means and how to accomplish this, but there's a halacha to have more to drink, more alcohol on Purim than typically you would have. Now, whether this is to really get drunk or to just drink more than you are accustomed to so that you will no longer be able to tell the difference between Aur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, curses Haman and blesses Mordechai, that it could be that you just take a nap, you drink, so you fall asleep. That is the opinion of the Ramah. The Mechaber is more stringent on that. It really needs to be drunk. But to those who drink on Purim to more of an excess, make sure that they daven mincha before the Suda, and then daven Ma'ariv late once they're sober. When Purim falls out on a Friday like this year, time for the Suda becomes a bit more complicated because of Shabbos. So if you're unsure what you should do, then you should speak to your Rav to find out what option is the most appropriate for your circumstances. But it's important to not be drunk when you are davening. Maitre Shahaya, years ago when I was learning in yeshiva, at a Purim Suda with one of my rebbeim, one of the other bachrim who was there at the time had asked the Rav when we were there, so I think I might be too drunk to daven Ma'ariv. So at that point, the Rav said, the fact that you're able to ask the question of whether or not you think you might have had too much to drink is a riot, is a proof that you're not too drunk. But again, that's something to be mindful of, especially on Purim, to make sure that you're not drunk while you are davening, as we learn again from Eli and Chana. When Eli realized that he was mistaken, he told Chana to go to Shalom, go in peace, and gave her a bracha. From here we learn that if you mistakenly accuse someone of doing something inappropriate, then the appropriate thing to do is to placate them and to give them a bracha. When Chana returned to Eli with her son Shmuel, she said, I'm the woman who stood with you here, davening to Hashem. And the Gemara notes that Chana and Eli were both standing. From here, the Gemara derives that it is prohibited to sit within four amos to someone who is davening Shmoneh Esrei. According to the Ritva, the reason for this prohibition is to demonstrate a respect for Hashem Shechina, which rests in the Arba Amos, the four Amos surrounding a person who is engaged in Tefillah. Alternatively, the Torah explains that someone sitting near someone who is davening, acknowledging Hashem's kingship, is giving the impression that they don't care about Kavod Hashem. That is why, in contrast, a person who themselves is engaged in Tefillah or in davening, saying Shema, is allowed to sit. Though tefillah seems to be exclusively bin adam lamakom, that's between men and Hashem, there's also an aspect of tefillah that is relevant bin adam l'chaveru, that's between men and men. The Arizal teaches that before we daven Shmoneh Esrei, we should focus specifically on the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, the mitzvah of loving our fellow Jew. In fact, in the if you daven Nusach Ha'ari, you might notice in the Siddur, the very beginning of davening, which we'll call Pesukah Dezimra, is a short line that says, Hareini Mekabel Alai Mitzvah Aseh Shel V'Hach L'Recha Kamoicha. And this, of course, we learn from Rabbi Akiva, that I should take upon myself the mitzvah of loving your fellow as yourself. But it's a very important mitzvah, obviously, this role, to love your fellow Jew. So we need to dive into Hashem and ask Him to grant us success in our endeavors. And this tefillah for success is even more vital in relation with our dealings with each other, because the success of our actions depends on other people and their reaction. If we want to do a good deed for someone else, or help someone out, we need to understand what their needs are. People can be very difficult to understand. It's difficult to understand ourselves, and all the more so each other. We need to daven for assistance from Hashem to improve our midos and to successfully interact with each other in a peaceful and pleasant way. We daven to Hashem, as we know formally, three times a day, Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. It's one of the ways that we develop our relationship with Hashem. However, we should also connect informally with Hashem throughout the day. Tefillah is called a vayda, which means work. Successful tefillah requires hard work. So perhaps to use this opportunity to focus on improving the quality of our kavana and our tefillah. When we focus on davening, when we pray, when we daven, we should try to focus and think about Hashem. Again, as I mentioned at the outset, this sounds like a silly thing to think about, but in truth, it really isn't. The fact that so many of us, and I will include myself in this, at times we'll rush through davening because you have to run somewhere. You have an appointment. You're running late. You're doing it because you need to daven. You're going through the motions. It's by rote, but you're not thinking about what you're saying. It ends up to be that the tefillah is on a much lower level. You're not thinking about Hashem if you're speeding through without without thinking at all. So it's important to take into account and try to focus as best as possible on not just on what the words that you're saying mean, but also just thinking about Hashem. And we should ask Hashem for help in our performances, mitzvahs, b'ra'ah l'chaveru, informally. Speaking throughout the day, Hashem should help with this, Hashem could help with that. How many times a day are there things that happen that you can think, oh, you give a krech, but then you say, oh, Hashem should help me with this so I can do that. And it just, again, brings Hashem into your life that much more. Hashem is always ready to hear us. Hashem is always with us. We just need to approach Him. Amir Hashem, God willing, by thinking about our tefillah, and we should have a better kavana and have better interactions with each other. And Amir Hashem, by doing so, we will merit to see the fulfillment of Hashem's promise to bring us back to Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, with the base of Mikdash, Meher V'Yameinu. I wish everyone a Chanukah and a good Shabbos.